Thank you, everybody, for being here today. The title of my talk is Soil Chemical and Biochemical Surveys of Sweet Cherry Agroecosystems in the Pacific Northwest. This work was conducted while I was a postdoc at Oregon State University, and co-authors include Drs. Veronica Costa-Martinez, Drs. Anita Azarenko, and Dave Myrold from Oregon State University, and Dr. David Wester. The overall objective of this study was to identify soil properties most sensitive to orchard floor management, regardless of soil type, texture, climate, and above-ground management. And specifically, we were interested in those properties that can detect orchard floor management differences resulting from short-term changes to their orchard floor management practice. In order to accomplish this, we had 9 study farms. This is a Google Earth image showing the 9 farms indicated by the yellow thumbtacks. 7 of these farms were producer-operated, and 2 of these farms were operated by Oregon State University. 3 of the farms are located in the Willamette Valley, where Oregon State University is, as well as one of our research farms. 3 are in the Hood River Valley, where the second research farm was, and the last set of 3 are in the Dalles area, which is on the east side of the Cascade Mountains. Because of the geographical distribution, we had a variety of different soil properties and gradients in climate, including, for example, clay content ranging from 10% up in the Hood River Valley to over 30% in soils, for example, in the Willamette Valley. Organic matter content ranged from 1.4 to 7.6%, and most striking was our precipitation gradient, where we had less than 15 inches of precipitation annually on the east side of the Cascades, and over a meter of annual precipitation falling in the Willamette Valley. Orchard floor management, the years under a particular practice range from 0 years where a change or initiation occurred in 2005 at the onset of the study, to farms that had been practicing a particular orchard floor management for over 10 years. The majority of our soils were of the mollisol order, although we also had an alfasol and an andisol. We had 4 orchard floor management treatments described in this table and abbreviated BARE, cloth, ohm, and loam. The BARE treatment is common in conventional growers where they keep the tree rows within the drip line BARE using herbicides. We had 3 conventional growers that were utilizing this practice. Herbicide use for organic orchards are marginally successful at best, and so we actually investigated the use of landscape cloths that were applied to reduce weed pressure and water loss in 2 of our OSU establishing organic orchards. And that material looks like this. It's permeable to water. The 3rd orchard floor management treatment is abbreviated OAM and stands for organic amendments or mulch treatment. Depending on the location and the resources available to the grower at the time that this study was initiated, the 2 organic orchards utilized this practice, as well as 3 of the conventional orchards, where 2 of these had initiated a change at the onset of the study in 2005. The last one I call the loam treatment, and that stands for the living organic amendment. Basically, that just means that volunteer grasses are allowed to establish. And this was utilized in 3 established, with trees greater than 8 years in age, organic orchards. This is 2 of the ohm practices where both bark mulch was applied in organic treatment. And this is 1 of the conventional growers that had shifted from the bare ground treatment and applied alfalfa straw mulch. And these are a couple of pictures of the living organic amendment. We measured a suite of soil chemical and biochemical properties measured at 2 depths and collected over a 2-year period in the fall of 06 and 07. Chemical properties included macro and micronutrient analysis, soil pH, organic matter content, and the biologically active fraction of organic matter called particulate organic matter, carbon, and nitrogen. Biochemical properties investigated included characterizing the soil microbial community using FAME profiles and 5 enzyme activities involved in carbon, phosphorus, sulfur, and nitrogen cycling, as well as end mineralization potential. I then took these 3 different groups of information and ran them in non-metric multidimensional scaling ordinations to determine which set of variables was most informative for describing differences between the orchard floor management practices. The first matrix was utilizing just the chemical data alone. The second matrix looked at just the same profiles. And the third matrix utilized the enzyme activities as well as end mineralization potential. The hypothesis was that soil biological indicators would be more sensitive to orchard floor management than chemical data because 4 out of our 9 farms had recently either initiated or changed what they were doing to the orchard floor. Specifically, we hypothesized that because the loam and the ohm treatments actually had organic matter being applied to it compared to the bare and cloth treatments, that these would result in higher overall microbial biomass carbon as indicated by total FAME we were using as a proxy for microbial biomass carbon, greater fungal to bacteria ratios, overall enzymatic potentials, and that higher content of biologically active organic matter. Okay, so this is the first of 3 ordinations. I'm going to take a couple minutes and just walk you through it. Again, I use non-metric multidimensional scaling plots. For all of the ordinations, the bare samples are represented in the red circles. Black diamonds represent the cloth treatment. The ohm, or the organic matter amendment, is represented by the blue squares. And the green triangles are the living organic amendment, or the loam treatments. Each point is the average of 3 to 4 field reps. And in each ordination, I indicate where the Andesol soils fall out because they're always different from everybody else. And then group differences are visualized by plotting the means and ellipsis with bidirectional 95% confidence intervals. And then that the idea is that non-overlapping ellipses indicate group differences. And these group differences were statistically supported using a non-parametric multi-response permutation procedure. So this is the chemical property ordination with just the 0 to 15 centimeter samples collected over a 2-year period. Almost 58% of the variation is explained by axis 1 and almost 35% is explained by axis 2. What we see are that the 2 sites where cloth was utilized are in opposing quadrants, resulting in huge variability. But we did have a significant impact between the loam treatment and the bare treatment, as well as the loam and the organic amendment treatment. I then used indicator species analysis to determine which variables were important for separating these groups, and then listed them in the ellipse where the indicator species value is greatest. So in this case, a number of major macronutrients, as well as CEC, iron, particular organic matter, nitrogen, and organic matter were good group identifiers for the loam treatment in comparison with either the bare or the ohm treatment, whereas inorganic nitrogen content and soil manganese content were good group predictors for the bare and the organic amendment treatments. I had hypothesized that the biological indicators would be more sensitive, and specifically I thought that the soil microbial communities would shift more rapidly than the chemical data as indicated in the literature. However, what we find, and in this particular ordination we have 79% of the variation explained, again we have the cloth treatments in opposing quadrants. Here's our Andesol soils, which I did not include in the multi-response permutation procedure because they're a different animal, basically. Lots and lots of variation in the cloth treatment. And the same relationship as to the chemical matrix, where loam was significantly different from bare and loam was significantly different from the organic amendment treatments. FAME biomarkers for arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, the general fungal biomarker, and FAMEs indicative of gram-negative bacteria were good group predictors for the loam treatment, whereas gram-positive biomarkers, and specifically the actinomycetes, were important variables in describing the bare and ohm treatments. Finally, the last matrix I looked at were the biochemical data, again, those 5 enzymes involved in carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur cycling. And in this case, we have 89% of the variation explained along axis 1. Again, our Andesols are sort of off by themselves. But in contrast to the chemical and the methane data, we now have a tighter clustering of the cloth samples. And that results in a significant difference between the loam samples and all three of the remaining orchard floor management practices. In general, four out of the five enzyme assays were greater and good group predictors for the loam treatments in comparison to any of the three remaining treatments. And in contrast to the chemical and the methane data, we also had a significant impact between the organic amendment treatment and the bare ground, with aryl sulfatase being greater in the organic amendment treatment when compared to the bare treatment, as well as a significant difference between the cloth and the bare treatment, with acid phosphatase being a good group indicator. So in summary, what this data shows is that the biological data was far more sensitive to separating out treatment differences than either our chemical or the FAME information. In conclusion, our loam treatment had the highest concentration of many soil macronutrients, FAMEs that are markers for fungi and gram-negative bacteria, and overall greatest microbial activity. But keep in mind that the loam treatment was only practiced in well-established organic orchards, and these orchards were not necessarily the most productive. So what I'm not suggesting is everybody go out and let weeds go rampant in your system. However, what was really encouraging was that short-term changes in the orchard floor management, as in when we zoned into the comparison between the bare and the ohm or the bare and the cloth, are reflected in changes to soil chemical status and especially in biochemical functioning using our enzymatic data. Of course, further long-term studies are necessary in these and similar perennial systems to build on the observed relationships that I shared with you today. And in particular, soil biological information is rather limited in perennial systems and is really needed to help these growers make sound decisions that not only increase the soil health, but their overall orchard productivity. With that, I'd like to thank our funding sources and the whole suite of researchers and graduate students and, of course, all of our growers that made this project a lot of fun and success.
No, it was all over the place. Yeah.
Different ages. It was actually a real challenge to try to make sense of a very complex data set. So, different management systems, different irrigations, different time that the trees were planted. There were four farms that were planted at the initiation of the study. So, and that was rather encouraging that we actually saw some of these treatment differences. I was very pleasantly surprised and happy with that.